God, we thank you. We thank you for these moments in which we can connect with you and you can speak to us. So remind us that we are called to be fully present in this particular moment with these particular people in this particular space. And might you speak to us. Might you speak to us today, and might you cause our spirits to become more and more like Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay. Well, today we are jumping into a new series titled Boundaries. Boundaries. And this one is part one of a few parts, and this one is titled Where You End and Someone Else Begins. And this sermon series has been really percolating within my head, within my heart, for the last 5 or 6 years, because I'm still working on this thing called boundaries. And I wanted to share with you what I've learned over the past 5 or 6 years, and hopefully you might be able to learn something from this, and I might be able to learn from you as well. But I want to give you a little outline of where we're going for the next 6 weeks. Today, boundaries part one. You are here, so you can check this one off a checklist if you want to keep a checklist here. You're here. Right after this sermon, I know there was a lot of energy surrounding last week's sermon. We talked about heaven and hell, and it was a part of our original blessing series. We're going to have a conversation just over there in Wesley Hall at 12:15, and it'll go till 1:15. And if you want to come and join us, we'd love to have you be a part of that. It's going to be a really, really good conversation. I'm really excited to be a part of it because I think it's going to be a good time to dialogue where we get to learn from each other. Not just me to you, but everybody gets to learn from one another, and it's going to be really, really good. So that's happening after this service at 12:15. Next week, we're going to have a group conversation about boundaries. We're going to have three different panelists, three different experts at boundaries. We have one here, Stephen Montesinos. If you can wave. He's going to be on our panel. We've got Michelle Prosha-Heater, and we have Kim Cook. They are all experts at this boundary thing for different particular spaces, for different particular reasons. Some of them are trained in this thing called boundaries. Some of them are not, but have taught about a lot about boundaries and have taught me about how they do boundaries within their life, within their families, within their social settings. And it's going to be an awesome conversation. I get to be the MC, so I'm kind of going to be sitting right here, and they're going to be sharing their knowledge with you and with me, too, because we had a conversation about it over coffee. And man, they know what they're talking about, and it's really, really, it's going to be awesome. So we're going to do that March 21st, and then we have a special guest preacher. Karis is going to be preaching for us. She's not going to be preaching on boundaries, but we've talked twice about what she's going to be preaching on, and I don't know, it's going to be straight fire. It's going to be so, so good. Yeah, I tried a new saying out. Sorry, it didn't work so well. I thought I was going to get more laughs or something. It's going to be really, really good, and she helped me learn about, she's going to be talking about Jonah and what Jonah kind of means to her, and it's going to be really, 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 really good. And then Boundaries Part 3 will be April 7th, and then we're moving into Palm Sunday, and April 21st is Easter Sunday. Can you believe it? That's incredible that we're already at Easter. So that's where we're going in the next 6 weeks here in Connection. Just wanted to let you all know where we're going and what's happening here. But today, we're going to start with this one, where you end and someone else begins. So my wife, Karina, and I, we go to Orange Theory a couple days of the week. And we go to Orange Theory in St. Augustine, and we have to travel a little ways to get to Orange Theory. And we go to this new, it's a newer development that is being built there, and it's a newer facility, and they have a bunch of shops there and a bunch of restaurants. So right next to Orange Theory is Jersey Mike's. Probably not the best marketing campaign. I don't know why. You have Jersey Mike's, and then we have Tijuana Flats right to the right of that. And then you have a Diane's Fresh Market. And then you have this phenomenal Thai and sushi restaurant on the far end. And you have these establishments that bring a lot of people. Well, Karina and I go around dinner time, and it's a madhouse when we get there because there's not much parking. You have single parking spaces up near close to the next to the buildings. And in the middle, you have those two parking spaces where the cars park face-to-face with each other or headlights to headlights. And then you have one more parking space on the back nearest to the road, and those spaces are all compact. And during around 5:45, 6:45, 7 o'clock, everybody's trying to get their food, especially on Tuesdays. Tijuana Flats and their Taco Tuesdays, it's crazy there. And there's not much room for parking. So we drive in, and I have a Jeep Grand Cherokee, And we go to the Orange Theory, and I try to find a parking spot, and there aren't many parking spots except the one that is a compact parking spot. My Jeep Grand Cherokee is not a compact car, but I pull in, and I feel, yes, it's fine. I've got a couple feet on my left. Well, Karina looks at me and says, Will, I can't get out. I'm like, what do you mean? She's like, if I open my door, I can't get out. I'm like, okay. So I reverse, and I have to literally move out of the parking spot. She gets out, she closes the door, and I go back in the parking spot the same way I thought I did, and I get out, and we're fine. No big deal, not a problem. Well, the next, about a week later, we go to another place, and we're going shopping, and we have these normal-sized parking spots, and there's two cars, one to my right, one to my left, and I see this parking spot, and I pull into the parking spot, and I give myself like 3 feet on my side and not much room on her side. And she says, Will, you did it again. Like, what do you mean? She's like, you're a terrible parker. I said, no, I'm a great parker. You just can't fit out. I don't understand. Well, I back out, she gets out of the car, and then I go back into the parking spot. Not a big deal. Well, then last Sunday, I park over here, and nobody's there when we get here. It's about 7 o'clock or so. And I park, not a big deal. Well, after all the three services we have and after we have conversations with people, we go back and we try to get in the car. Well, I realize my car is somewhat like this. Again, I leave myself 2 or 3 feet on my side and not much room for her to get out. And she said, Will, you are a terrible parker. I said, no, you're just wrong. Well, there were other people that were there. Cody and Emily, Josh and Lauren, Trey and Danielle, who their cars are right next to our cars. And they say, Will, we try to avoid your car. I'm like, why? They say, you are a terrible parker. You don't have a really good idea of boundaries. And I said, what are you talking about? You're like, you are a terrible parker. And I still to this day think I'm a pretty good parker, but I guess other people beg to differ. So if you see a Jeep Grand Cherokee that's more over to the right-hand side of the parking spot, that might be mine, I don't know. But it got me thinking, when I think about parking, all of those experiences got me thinking about boundaries. The boundaries that we have when we park are those yellow lines, or out here, they are the white lines. And there are physical boundaries about saying what is ours and what is not. Boundaries serve as a sign of what is ours and what is not. And these physical boundaries show us what is within our lane, what is our responsibility and what is not. That's what boundaries are. They help us know what is ours and what is not, and what is our particular responsibility, what we are in control of, and what we aren't in control of. And we can see physical boundaries. We know these physical boundaries. And I think about it as like a fence. If you have a house and you think about your fence that you created or that you built, a lot of times the city or the council would come in, the city would tell you, this is your property lines. You have back here and behind that is a marsh, or on your sides, this is your property, and on the outsides of that is somebody else's property. And then you have your house. And these are physical boundaries that we experience. And this fence kind of tells you what is yours and what is not. What is within your responsibility and what is not your responsibility. So if you think about your house, and let's say you have a tree that went down in the center of your yard, that is your responsibility to fix or not. Or if you have a playset that you built for your kids, if that playset breaks, it is your responsibility to fix it, or it's your responsibility to make sure that it's safe for your kids. It's not your neighbor's responsibility to make sure that that is fixed. Or if your water main breaks in the front of your house, it's the city's responsibility because it's not within your boundaries. It's not within your fence. Hopefully the city fixes it quickly because you need to go to the bathroom and you need to do all the stuff you need to do for water. But it's not your responsibility. Whatever is in your fence is within your responsibility and yours. And in the same token, the person that lives to your right or to your left, if they have a fence, whatever is within their fence is their responsibility, not yours. So if their tree falls over, it's not your responsibility to take care of that tree. Or if something happens within their house, it's not your responsibility to take care of it, right? It's not your responsibility. Whatever is within your property, within your physical boundaries, is your responsibility. It's what is yours, and whatever is outside of that is not yours, is not your responsibility. Now, that does not mean you can't go and help your neighbor pick up a tree. That does not mean you can't go and help if a water main breaks, help your neighbor. But you are responsible for whatever is within your boundary, whatever is within your fence, whatever is within your parking spot, even if you're not a good parker, that is your responsibility. And these are physical boundaries that we have. And we can see physical boundaries all over the place. If you think about these walls here are physical boundaries. They represent what is us and what is not. We also have natural boundaries. We have these things that are mountains, and mountains separate the east from the west. Or if you think about rivers, rivers even separate states. It separates what is ours, what is our responsibility, what is our thing, and it separates us from what is not ours, what is not our responsibility. And physical boundaries are really easy to see. We can see them all over the place. Even your skin, that is a boundary that you have. It internalizes all that is you, and things that are not outside of your skin are not yours. We see physical boundaries all over the place. Yet, there are also other types of boundaries that are emotional boundaries and relational boundaries. And these boundaries are really hard to get at. These are not as obvious as parking spaces, and they're not as obvious as fences. Emotional and relational boundaries are really tough to see. Now, the first time I've ever heard about boundaries was 5 years ago. 5 years ago, when I was a chaplain at Tampa General Hospital. I was a resident chaplain there for a year, and what we would do as resident chaplains, we would have these learning times on Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays from 3 o'clock to 5 o'clock. And me and four other resident chaplains would get together in a room along with our supervisor, who was trained to help us become better chaplains, and we would sit around and we would have these learning discussions and experiences. And we would just sit around the table and talk. We would talk about how our visits with patients had gone, and that would oftentimes link to how we dealt with our families and how our family of origin and how we deal with emotions shape sometimes how we visit somebody. It might shape the feelings that we have. It might shape some of the fears that we have. And we would have these conversations with five chaplains and a supervisor. And I remember this one time that we were sitting at this table, and they were asking me about some of my stuff, some of my family emotion, and some of my family of origin, family dynamics. And I told them about my family. I was the caretaker for my family. My mom and dad got divorced when I was about 7, and when they got divorced, I was kind of the caretaker for my mom and for my sister. And I have always grown up being the rock of the family. So when I woke up, I would fix my mom and my sister breakfast in the morning. Or if something bad happened in the family, I couldn't show any emotion, so I would be kind of the caretaker and try to fix things. And that was kind of my role within my family system. And we went really in depth to that. Well, they asked me about a patient that I'd visited. And that whole week, I visited that patient every single day and spent about an hour with that particular patient. And they asked me, well, why are you spending so much time with this particular patient? And I said, well, I'm just a really caring person. I'm just really kind. I'm really compassionate. I want to help that particular person. And they said, yeah, that's good, but do you think that might have anything to do with you being a caretaker? I said, no, that's probably not something it doesn't really make a difference. I'm just really a nice person. Well, as we're having this conversation, my supervisor, he was an older white male, was a very, very large person, very large personality. But sometimes when he was sitting down, he would kind of like fall asleep a little bit, and he would kind of snore sometimes. He's supposed to be our supervisor, but we don't really know if he was listening or not, so he was kind of peering off like this as they're questioning about my experience with this patient. And I remember very vividly, all of a sudden as we're talking, he kind of perks up. And he looks at me and he says, Will, you need to learn something. I said, oh, this is going to be good. But I'll never forget what he said. He said this, Will, you have to figure out where you end and someone else begins. Will, you have to figure out where you end and someone else begins. And that's what a boundary is. That's stuck with me for the last 5 years. Reverend Bill Ball was his name. Bill Ball, Will, you have to figure out where you end and someone else begins. That's what a boundary is about. It's trying to figure out where is your fence, what is your parking lot, what is yours, and what is not yours. And trying to care for yourself the best possible way you can starts with how you view yourself and how you see where you end and someone else begins. Now, a boundary is an expectation that you set. It's an expectation you set with somebody else because they might have harmed you, they might have hurt you, who knows? But it might have been I think about a time in my life where I was at a family gathering. Maybe it was Easter or Christmas, and we always would go over to my family's house, and the family member might have shared a story about me that everybody would laugh at, and I would laugh a little bit, but internally it was a harmful story to me. It really hurt me, and it was kind of like a punch to my gut, because you shouldn't be talking that way about me. It was harmful. Yet I always said, it's not that big of a deal. That person's always like that. My aunt, my uncle, my cousin, my relative, they're always like that. It's just family. That's just the way it is. And I just laughed it off. But internally, I was thinking, that really hurt. Why does that person say that about me? Have you all ever experienced something like that? Somebody might have said something that kind of jabbed you on the left side, or might have been hidden daggers in them that might have been harmful. Yeah, that's hurtful, and that's tough. Now, a little side note. When you have those feelings, when you have those emotions, when you have that stuff and you kind of say, it's not a big deal, it's just family, I don't need to deal with that. I'm just going to stuff it down. I'm not going to deal with it. Eventually, it comes out somewhere. Eventually, as you keep stuffing those emotions, the anger, the frustration, the hurt about that family member saying this to you, eventually that kind of develops into something even worse, like a resentment towards that particular person, or that develops into this anger that is undealt with. And those emotions come out somewhere. You all probably experienced this before. Those emotions come out somewhere. And if you just keep stuffing them, they're going to come out in very unhealthy ways. And what a boundary does is help you express how you're feeling, helps you express what you're experiencing, helps you kind of dig up some of those emotions so you can tell this particular family member, hey, that was hurtful. That really offended me. And it's not about just being family, but it's about creating healthy boundaries. And it's about that awareness of how you're feeling in that particular moment. It's about the awareness of what's going on within your fence, what's going on within your parking spot. And it starts with how you view yourself, how you care for yourself. Now, this is a deeply, deeply, deeply spiritual issue. This is not a self-help talk. This is a deeply spiritual issue. And it's a deeply spiritual issue when you think all the way back to Genesis 1. It's probably one of my favorite stories in all of the Bible. When God created us, when God created all of us, God created us good. God created us wonderfully made. And we have the divine imprint upon God. And we are like, we have the image of God all around us. We do. We are made wonderful. Now, when God makes us, in order for us to honor the way that God created us, we have to honor ourselves. And if we let other people take little pieces of us away, or let other people take little side jabs, and we don't really care for ourselves and see ourselves the way God sees us, that's not honoring what God has done for us. It's not honoring the divine image that's within you, within me, within all of us. That's kind of lessening the idea of who we are as people. And it's a deeply spiritual issue because it's about how we see ourselves and how we see ourselves in the way that God has created us. We're called to be good stewards of the gifts that God has given to us. And God wants all of us, 100% of our beings, to be fully invested of where God is working within the world. And if we're not fully invested where God is calling us, then we're not being good stewards. And we're not honoring the way God created us. I think about 1 Corinthians. Paul writes this to the church in Corinth. He says, "Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have received from God?" Our bodies are holy temples. Now, when we often read that, we think of that as a physical thing, that we need to care for our bodies. We should probably stop eating all of those snacks and Krispy Kremes. We should probably go exercise. And that's probably true, because we have to honor the body that God has given us. We do, because it's the only body you get. You don't get a second one. You don't get to just transfer somewhere else. This is the body you get. But when you get deeper to it, I think it's an honoring of the temple that God has given to you, of all of you. God created each one of us with particular gifts and particular passions and particular things that God wants us to do. If you are an artist, God wants you to give 100% of yourself into the art that you do. If you're a teacher, God wants you to give all of yourself to help go and teach these kids to become better. If you are a doctor or a lawyer, God wants to send all of you to help heal people or to help fight for injustice. God wants all of you, all of us, fully invested into where God is working. And if people are taking little bits of pieces of you, if people are kind of jabbing you and you're kind of holding some resentment towards someone, you're not giving your 100% towards that. You're preoccupied with other things. And God didn't make you for that. God made all of us to give 100% of ourselves into whatever you are passionate about, whatever vocation, whatever calling, whatever family, even if you're if you're raising kids, that's the most important thing you can do. And put your 100% effort into raising kids, because that's what God is calling you to do. And if you're only giving 80% of yourself because you're trying to care about other people's fences and other people's stuff, no. You care about what's within your fence. You care about how you can put 100% of your stuff into it. It's a deeply spiritual thing. But it also reminds me of Jesus' story in Mark chapter 12. He tells us that you must love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your being, with all of your mind, and with all of your strength. That's a pretty easy one. We know that one. But this one is the one that we sometimes forget. The second is this. You will love your neighbor as yourself. Love God, love neighbor. But when we say that, sometimes we forget those last two words. We forget as yourself. Sometimes we forget it. And it's so critical for us, because we can't fully love our neighbor if we don't love ourselves first. It's just like if you're in an airplane, if you're going down an airplane and you have the air mask come out, you have to care for yourself in order to care for the person to your left or to your right. And before you do anything, you have to know what is yours, where you end, and where someone else begins. It all starts with self-awareness. The feelings, the emotions, what's going on within you, what makes you tick. And that's the beginning part of creating boundaries. And that's the beginning part of learning how to love your neighbor. Because if you don't love yourself, if you're not fully filled, if you're not fully invested, if you don't fully love yourself, you can't see the other person as fully loved as well. It starts with knowing that you love yourself because God is fully present within you. So, a couple of final thoughts. Very practical. Boundaries are a process. This does not happen overnight. And this is not an easy process. This has been 5 years for me before I even spoken about this. And it is a process, and it is a journey, and you're going to go through ups and downs and all arounds. And if you've never heard about boundaries before, and if you've never heard that it's okay to tell your family member that really hurt, that's okay. If you've never dealt with boundaries, that's okay. You're a part of this journey too. We are all on a different part of this journey, and it's all a process. And even 5 years later, I'm still working on my boundaries within family members, within friends, within work, within life, within everything, trying to figure out where I end and someone else begins. So wherever you're at on this journey of boundaries, it's okay. It's a process. And secondly, there are some amazing people who do this for a living. There are some amazing people that you can connect with to help you create healthy boundaries. There are people that went to school for this, that trained for this, that know all about boundaries and can help you figure out where your boundaries are. If you don't know where those property lines are, it's going to be really hard to build a fence. But there are some people that are trained to help you figure out where your property ends and where somebody else's begins. Whether that's a counselor or a psychiatrist, whatever the case might be, there are some people that are really good at this. And over the last 5 years, I've had 3 different counselors to help me through some of these boundaries. And there is no stigma about it, not at all. If somebody's already said, no, you're going to a counselor, you must be messed up, you must be broken. No, that's not true. A counselor is somebody that gives you to be a coach. They're the ones that gives you the blueprints of how to build a fence. They're the ones that tell you where your property begins, or where your property ends and where somebody else's begins. So I would highly, highly, highly encourage you, if you've never been to a counselor or a psychiatrist, to find one. I've got a bunch that I can recommend to you. But they are such good coaches to kind of help you through this process of figuring out who you are and how you tick and where somebody else's property lines or parking spaces ends. So in the back, if you have not taken a piece of paper yet, in the back on the 2 black little, what do you call those, little totem pole things, there are some pieces of paper that have some questions for you. They have some questions for you to figure out and start this process of self-awareness and trying to figure out where you end and someone else begins. And I leave them there for you. As you leave, you can take them. But maybe they'll begin the process of you figuring out what boundaries you need to set, of where you need to deal with some of the stuff that's going on within you. And I hope those questions will be helpful for you as you go and as we go through these next few weeks about boundaries. Because it starts with you. It starts with you and trying to dive in what's going on within you. And it's so important, because if you can't love yourself, if you can't see yourself as the gift that God has given you, if you can't honor that gift that God has given to you and say no to certain people and say, hey, that really hurts, yeah, you're missing a lot of it. You're missing the point. It starts with knowing yourself and honoring yourself. So when you leave this place, might you go home and figure out those questions? Might you figure out where your property line begins or ends and where somebody else's begins? Might you see that you are honored, that you are God's gift to the world, and God wants you to be fully invested in whatever that is? And might you figure out what the Reverend Bill Baugh told me 5 years ago? Might you figure out where you end and someone else begins? Let's pray.